Even though it be many years ago, I can still remember as a big old tow-headed boy roaming the San Jacinto River bottoms. Even then, not understanding anything about God that's been revealed in the Bible, I knew that there was a higher power. I could look about me and see design in order. That's Psalms 19:1 and Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Having been raised in a home where God was not mentioned, religion was not practiced, I became involved in the world. And I always think about James chapter 4, verse 4. Even though I didn't understand it then, when we are friends with the world, we are God's enemy. Became involved in pleasures, unlawful pleasures. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, sin is pleasurable. We do a great disservice by not teaching our children that sin is pleasurable, but there's just great consequences attached to the choice of pleasure. I never knew peace. I was always unsettled before I became a Christian. I attended funerals. I would hear people speak of what's going to happen in the afterlife, and I knew I had done nothing in that area to prepare for it. And then I met Opal. She took me to her daddy, and he taught me the truth. It was then and there that I understood what was so special about being a Christian. Like many others, I looked back. I looked at that which was pleasurable. And for a while I thought that religion was too exact. It was too strict. And I was thinking about what I would have to give up, but it was made clear to me that which I gave up would pale in comparison to that which I would gain. And one of the things that I gained, and what makes religion and Christianity so special, is peace. I thought I had known peace, but I didn't. I had known pleasure. I thought I was happy, but I did not achieve that elusive peace that comes with being a child of God. That peace is threefold in nature. We've talked about this many times. We are to be at peace with God. Thus, the doctrine of reconciliation. To make friends again. And the only way that we can do that is to alleviate the barrier that stands between us and God. Sin is the great separator, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And most people do not come to the understanding that it is their responsibility to remove this barrier. God is not going to remove that barrier. You're not going to be reconciled to Him unless you follow His commands, precepts, and examples. That's like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul said, "Be ye." All right? Church, if you are at odds with God, if there's sin in your life, then you must be reconciled. You go to God and work out the sin problem. We are to be at peace with one another. And we are to be at peace with ourselves. Again, reconciliation. David, you be reconciled to God. And of course, we do that by taking care of our past sin problem, don't we? Have you ever stopped to think concerning those first century Christians in the book of Acts, why they did what they did to become Christians? Well, we've talked often about conversion, haven't we? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we see the necessity of being converted. But those first century Christians believe because Jesus had already commanded it in John chapter 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I'm He, ye shall die in your sins. He taught repentance, didn't He? In Luke 13, 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He taught confession, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. You deny me, I'll deny you before my Father. And He taught baptism in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And you find people following those examples in the book of Acts. And that's why they did what they did. If we do what they did, we will become as they were. And what did the Bible call them in Acts chapter 2, verse 47? Saved. So, we must take care of the sin problem. It is up to me to go to God, meet Him on His terms, and then He will provide the blessing concerning past sins, and that is forgiveness. Am I correct? And as David said in Psalms 25, verse 13, our soul shall dwell at ease. Now you talk about a blessing. In obeying the statutes of love, care, concern, compassion, gentleness, forgiveness. As the Apostle Paul said, we will be at peace among ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. We must be at peace with God. We must be at peace with our brothers and sisters. And when that is accomplished, we can be at peace with ourselves. There is no greater joy, as far as I'm concerned, than having peace with oneself. I know many people that are unsettled about their living, and they're even more unsettled about their passing or dying. Job made a statement in Job 34, verse 29. When He giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Do you understand what Job was talking about? There is a peace that comes from God, the only place it can come from, that will give us quietness and ease of soul. We are going to die. God made that appointment for us. It will not be canceled. We talked about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, didn't we? Yes, it should produce fear if you're in the same position as the rich man. But now, what about if you are in the position of Lazarus? Shouldn't it give comfort to us? Should it produce ease of mind? You know, my brethren here at Emory are some of the greatest that I've ever been around anywhere, in any place. But I look into the faces of some of my brothers and sisters, and I don't know any other way to say it. We have become advanced in years, haven't we? What'd you say? We're getting old. Some of us, Brother Glenn, no longer have great health. We have things that are trying to quit working and fall off, don't we? But you know what, brethren? No matter what befalls me, I know that the God that I serve will not leave me. He's told me what's coming, what lies ahead. That's encouraging to me. A life filled with harmony and tranquility, calm and serenity is something special. People look and say, well, I have to give up my honky-tonks. I have to give up carousing. And the list could go on and on and on. Brethren, there's nothing special about that. Especially when you know, as we talked about this morning, that God has made already arrangements for those who will not obey the truth. You know where your soul's going to end up. How can you have peace? When you go to bed at night, do you worry about waking up the next morning? Do you trust God? Has He promised to take care of your soul if you're faithful to Him? See, there's nothing like the peace that we're talking about. Don't tell me Christianity is not special. That's one of the great special points about it. That no matter what happens to me, if I die going out the door, if I have a heart attack going into the foyer, do I have to be concerned about where my soul is going to be? Car wreck. See, it doesn't make any difference if I just die of old age, some physical impairment, or somebody else's sin. Drunk runs over us. Going into the y'all come back for lunch. So what? We must have the proper view. We'll talk about that. I don't want to get into that. That's going to be for tonight. The proper view of death. The Bible shapes our view of death. We know what's coming. We know it's better on the other side. What made those ancients in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, keep on keeping on? Keep on going. Because they sought a better land. They sought a better country. They knew it was better on the other side. Amen? There's nothing like the peace that we're talking about. One day, my wife and I are going to separate. I always told her I'm going to go first because God knew that I couldn't take care of myself. But you know what? There's still going to be ease. There's still going to be peace. Because like King David said, we can be united again, can't we? Is that the peace that Paul talked about in the book of Philippians chapter 4 that passes all understanding? No matter what happens to my body, no matter what happens to me or mine, Brother Hogue, I can be at peace. I can have that harmony and serenity and calm and tranquility that only God can give. You know why Christianity is special? Because it produces a confidence that the world cannot give you. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 when you get there, Paul Foley. Romans 8, 38 and 39. What can separate? Is that, should we rest in the fact that that is true? That nothing can separate us from the love of God? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. When you get there, Hogue, would you read that for me, please? Yes, sir. 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. Now the question is this, brethren, what did he commit to God? Did he expect to be taken care of? Was it his soul? I have committed myself to you, and I know that you will take care of it. You know, does that sound a little bit like 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8? Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. My departure's at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. Brethren, there is a quiet confidence in becoming a child of God. We know that our God will never forsake us, nor will he leave us as long as we keep walking in the light. You look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Get hold of this now. The God that spoke the world into existence, the God that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent is on my side, Brother Parrish. He's with me. He will never leave me. Should that produce confidence and even more trust than we built up to this point? The answer is yes. One of my favorite passages is found in the book of Psalms, 139. I read this often, especially when things are not particularly going my way. Verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path in my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Does that indicate a very close personal relationship? For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. When the storms of life, and they will come, it doesn't make any difference if you're a child of God or a reprobate in the world. I think about Job when he said, and yet trouble came. It befalls us all. But the difference between the person in the world and the one who is in Christ Jesus is that I know that God is with me. That will not change. When the storms of life beat upon my house, guess where I can go? Where can you go as a child of God? I was thinking about what Jesus said. He said, cast all your care upon me. What a privilege. You know, I realize we are to pray for potatoes at the end of a hoe handle. Do whatever we can do, but then pray. And after we've done all that we can do, we turn it over to a loving, compassionate, merciful God who is on my side and will not fail me. I tell you, that's special. I tell you something else that makes Christianity special, and that's the expectation that we have as God's people. You know Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. God made that appointment. We've already stated we'll not miss it. But you know, for us, and I've used this many times in many funeral lessons, for you and I, death is nothing more than a door. It's a gate into another realm. One of my favorite passages in the book of Psalms was penned by King David. Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Did King David have great expectations that he could travel the road of death, go to meet his God, and still have great expectations? One of the lessons that we didn't deal with this morning when we were in Luke 16, but we have before, is that God knew, well, he knows us better than we know ourselves. Let me just put it that way. And as we approach death, not having traveled that road before, Brother Fenner, there's always a little bit of apprehension. Can't help it. That's just human nature. But I think that's why God left us that record in Luke chapter 16 of what happened to Lazarus when he died. It's not said of the rich man that angels bore him across. But it is said that angels bore Lazarus' soul across into the eternal realm. The point being is we don't have to make that journey alone. We'll be accompanied by the messengers of God. You ever get tired, Roger? The older you get, the tireder you get. Amen? One day we'll be at rest. I can't remember the chapter and the verse. It's in the book of Psalms. I'll look it up if you so desire. It talks about one day the wicked will cease from troubling us. Now I'd have to look it up, but it's there, I promise you. But think about that. How many troublers on every side have we encountered in our lifetime? And yet one day we're going to rest. Jesus said, blessed are those that are dying of dying the Lord, for they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And I always think about the Apostle Paul when I read that verse. You look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All the things that he suffered, all the things that he endured, and yet one day he will put the sword back in its scabbard. He'll lay his armor down, Brother Fenner, and the fight will be over. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? To be at rest. We will be received into glory. Psalm 73:24. David said, we will see the face of God. Psalm 17:15. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we will receive our inheritance, one that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven. One of the most beautiful passages to me in all the Bible is Revelation 21, verses 1 and following. So many things we're going to leave behind, Brother Fenner. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. All those things going to be behind us. What makes Christianity special is that we have a great deal to look forward to. One of the things that we have in our possession now, you look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus came to give life, and he came to give it, what? More abundantly. And brethren, that's not just the afterlife. That's in this life. Don't tell me that religion, Christianity, is not special. God wants his people to be happy. Let me tell you this. We'll close our lesson. If you cannot rejoice over the fact that God's only begotten Son left glory, took on the form of humanity, gave his life in order that we might live, have our sins forgiven, be redeemed, be reconciled, then your religion may be vain. We have a right to rejoice. That's why the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. No matter how bad life is to me, I can still rejoice as a child of God. Because I have things in my possession that the world does not have. Now, it's there. It's obtainable if they want it. As we close, would you say that godly, true, sincere religion is special? And I tell you, we just touched the hem of the garment. So many people take what they have for granted. I was thinking earlier before I got up about those that have been raised in the church. They have a tremendous advantage. I was thinking about Romans chapter 2. Paul asked the question, what advantage hath a Jew? He said, much in every way, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Great advantage. But never lose sight of the fact, you know, familiarity can be a curse. We've been in it all of our life. Many of you, you were born into a Christian family. You were raised in the church. And it becomes familiar. And sometimes it's taken for granted, isn't it? And all I want to tell you is this. It is special. And it'll be special until the day that we pass from this life. Do not take it for granted. But if you're not a child of God and you want what we've talked about today, we've talked about conversion, didn't we? It's available. It's offered by God. And that offer stands as long as the world is here. But one day, God's grace, God's mercy will run out. If you want what he's offering, you have to accept it now, because this is all we have. It's the promise of today. That's it. The next heartbeat's all we possess. If you want it, we can help you. Please come as we stand and sing. All